Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope everybody had a great weekend, and thanks for starting your week with us here on the show. We've got an awesome trip report for you today. Very current. We're heading out to Arizona to speak with listener Scott. He has a family of five, kids ranging from 3 to 14, went down to Walt Disney World just a few weeks back, late September to mid-October, stayed at the Grand Floridian, Old Key West, did some time off-site, went over to Universal, and there's a story of a Dole Whip you cannot miss. It is how the Dole Whip almost did in the trip. We're going to have a good time talking Disney today. Don't forget, today's show, as always, here on a Monday, brought to you by the great folks over at The Magic for Less Travel. If you want to support the Be Our Guest podcast, book your next trip with the great agents over at The Magic for Less. Their services are absolutely free to you. They're going to get you the best price every time on your Disney vacation, and it really does help support everything we do. So drop by themagicforless.com today, fill out that free, no obligation quote form, and where it says, where'd you hear about us? Put the Be Our Guest podcast, and you and I are going to be working together on that trip. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. A free way to support the show is just to use our Amazon affiliate link. Anytime you shop on Amazon, just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Finally, if you want a little extra content in your week, become a patron of the show. Just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. You're going to get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. It's a mini podcast that I put together with stories about growing up here in Missouri. Lots of extra content for you. And thank you so much to all of our patrons for making this podcasting possible. Again, check it out today over at patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1783 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at The Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Got to get out and, do some fall stuff. It's already almost Halloween. I mean, we can say what we want about 2020 and it's still being March, but, you know, we're making it. And I hope you got to get out there socially distanced, of course, but I got to maybe carve a pumpkin or go to the patch and, get lost in a corn maze. That's what we do here in the Midwest. I don't know how it is all around the world, but that's what we do. We go get lost in corn, pick up a gourd, carve it up, and call it a day. And then we cook the seeds and put way too much salt on them and then just eat them up. So that's what we do in the Midwest. But today, we're going to be heading out to Arizona and talking Disney with a great trip report headed your way. Scott's joining us out from where it is always hot. What's up, Scott? How's it going out in Arizona?
Hey, good. Thanks, Mike. It's good. We're finally actually getting some weather below the century mark. So I've already started to put on sweaters because it's starting to get cool here.
So you go to Florida and you freeze. You're like, oh my gosh. No, because the humidity gets you, right? I mean, it's a dry heat.
It does.
In Arizona.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, the humidity. Well, I spent some time in South America, actually, when I was in college as a missionary, believe it or not. And so I'm kind of used to the humidity and I kind of like the humidity. So coming, from the dry heat to the humidity really isn't that big of a judgment. But man, we had great weather when we went the first week. The second week, it was like summer came back and we were just sweating up a storm. I mean, it just was not. It was the first week was wonderful, but the second week was just, it was tough.
All right. So we are going to have a great trip report for you today. It's a very unique one. I'm excited because this was a trip that happened during COVID. So very recently. So it's a lot different than the shows we've had for the past 12 years. But before we jump into the trip, we kind of like to get to know our folks that we talk to on the other end. So tell us your background with Disney. I see in the email that you guys are DVC members. So where did it all start for you and what's the draw to the Disney destinations?
So we're in Arizona right now, but we're actually from California originally. And I became a big Disney fan just going to Disneyland. My parents kind of took us once a year and, I fell in love with the experience there and the, wonderful environment, very family friendly. And just, it was very magical as a kid growing up being there. And so I remember thinking to myself, one day I'm going to get an annual pass to be able to go to Disneyland whenever I want. And fortunately, my wife and I started dating, found out that she was as big of a Disney fan as I was. She didn't go quite as often, but so our first time together on a Disney experience was actually our honeymoon. We went on a Disney cruise. Mm-hmm. And then we then ended up moving to Southern California after I did some grad school down in Southern California. And we, you know, finally my dream came true, got those annual passes. And then, so we just kept, and we kept going. And then we went on for our fifth year anniversary, we actually went on another Disney cruise. And that's how we ended up buying into the DVC membership. And that's been a great blessing because we've been able to take our kids pretty much every year to Disney World. So, other things, we've been to the Alani and other places. So it's been fantastic.
Oh my gosh, you've done all. So you're totally in. You're 100%. I love
it.
Oh, yeah.
No, and frankly, we talk about it because Disney, especially DVC, but Disney hotels have kind of spoiled us for other hotels. We talk about it all the time because on this trip, we went to a non-Disney hotel for the first couple of days of the trip. And all the kids were like, this place is, I mean, it's a nice hotel, right? It was just, you know, the Hilton brand, but they were like, when are we going to a Disney hotel? This place is just garbage. And it's like, no, actually this place is nice. It's clean. It's roomy. And I don't know, we're probably ruining our children by you know, going to all these Disney places, but you can't beat the hospitality at a Disney hotel.
No, I hear you because we're a Pop Century family. You know, we'll go to these. My older daughter played a lot of club soccer. So we go to like Overland Park, Kansas, these really nice places. You wouldn't think Overland Park, Kansas is, but it's like a really tech little town. It's got really nice hotels. And we'd stay at a super nice hotel for the weekend. But again, you know, like this isn't Pop Century. No, it's way nicer. Like these beds are super comfortable. It's got all kinds of amenities, you know. But it's, you know, she'd rather be a Pop Century. So, yeah, but we get it. I mean, I'm kind of the same. It's me with the Swan and the Dolphin at Walt Disney World, to be honest. Like, to be honest, that's way better. Those are way better hotels than the values. But I miss the values. That's why I go to Disney. Yeah. So I'm like your kids.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just like a big kid. Let me ask
you. No, you can't beat that ambiance.
I got to ask you one other thing, though, about the DVC thing. Then we'll get into the trip. You said you bought. Did you buy DVC on the cruise? Because I go to those just because I try to win that onboard credit. And I never do. And I've come this close to almost buying DVC. Then my wife had to come get me and be like, get out of there. You know, right. We're going to get you.
So, right. Yeah. We did, actually. And we, just like most DVC members, we started with kind of what we could afford at the time. And then I tell you, once you take your first DVC vacation, they kind of hook you and then just like add on and add on and add on. And we're finally to the point where we're not adding on anymore. Although I keep thinking, you know, telling my wife, you know, it'd be great to have, they're still selling at the Alani. It'd be great to kind of alternate our trips or, you know, maybe we can squeeze two trips a year or whatever. So, but no, we're pretty satisfied. Yeah. Buying on the cruise was actually a great experience. We got some bonuses doing that. So if anybody's out there that's interested, and if you're ever on a Disney cruise, that's the way to go.
You just got to be careful because I think the one time I went was after we had mixology class, and I did walk out with a lot of DVC swag, but I wasn't sure if I was a DVC member when I left. So it was kind of a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah,
it's not a good combo. All right, let's get into your trip. So when did you guys head down? When was the trip? And then tell us about your family because you have a lot. You have a larger family, which I think makes this really, really cool.
We do, yeah. So we left. We've got five kids, and they range from you know, teenager 14 to a little toddler or preschooler who's three. And we left on Monday the 28th. So here in Arizona, a little bit different than what we're used to in California. Every quarter they have kind of a break. So this was the end of fall quarter. So they had 2 weeks off. And they have a shortened summer break. So we normally would go during the summer, usually towards the like middle of August. And because they would already be in school, we went ahead and shifted it to October. And for those that are familiar with DVC, you kind of have to plan these trips almost a year in advance, right? Because you got to get on your hotel reservations, all that. So we had started planning this trip earlier in the year, back in like January. And so we had shifted everything because we knew we were moving to October. And then the pandemic hit, right? And so they shut down the parks and we weren't sure as to whether or not they would reopen, what we were going to do. And this is actually our 20th wedding anniversary this year. My wife actually just turned 40. So we were actually going to make this kind of a bigger trip than normal. And so that ended up having to modify the plans once they did open everything up, which we were grateful for, right? I mean, when the pandemic hit, we really thought we were just going to have to punt this trip to next year. But once they opened everything up and we saw what kind of restrictions they were going to have and what controls and safety measures they wanted us to live by, you know, we brought it up to our kids and said, okay, you guys willing to go to Disney wearing masks and, you know, stand in lines? There's no fast passes. They canceled all of our, you know, dining reservations. So we have to do that all over again. And they were like, yeah, no problem. I mean, they have to wear masks at school. So to them, it wasn't a big difference. So, we were excited to go. We left on Monday the 28th and just got back on October 10th. So Saturday, October 10th. So we spent the bulk of 2 weeks over there.
That's awesome. Cause this is going to really help folks that are going down this fall, this winter, because you were just literally there. Now you did stay. So let's talk hotels here because I want to get as much information in here for our listeners as we can. So where did you stay and how did you feel safety wise and more importantly, experience wise at each hotel? Because you know how a normal vacation looks, feels, you know, and develops. What was the hotel aspect like compared to previous trips?
So we first started, so we're there for a total of 12 nights. The first two nights were at a non-Disney hotel. And that was actually a great experience. I mean, they had controls in place. They asked us to wear masks in public places. They limited, in elevators, the number of people, it's either one party or I think it was like four people. And so, you know, we felt very safe there. When we stayed there, that's when we went to Universal. So actually went to the Magic Kingdom on Tuesday, the 29th, and then Universal on the 30th. Then after those two nights, we transitioned to our DVC time. So we went to Old Key West for five nights. And then after Old Key West, we transitioned to the Grand Floridian for five nights. And so at the Disney hotels, we felt just as safe, if not more so. I mean, all the hotels, they're cleaning them to the nth degree. And frankly, you know, you feel like, well, why can't they just do that all the time?
Yeah,
right.
So from now on, I think they're going to have to. Now, the folks that have been down like us during the pandemic, we're going to be like, you know, nothing else is acceptable from this point.
That's right.
You know, that remote needs to be in a bag every time because it never jeeved me out, but it will now from forever. If it's not in a bag, I'll be like, oh my God, well, it's going to kill me, you know, kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah, no, exactly. And so, so we felt perfectly safe. I mean, the amenities were all open at the Disney hotels. So the pools were open, restaurants were open. Those that have stayed at a DVC hotel before, they know that they got that community center, right? So they were having activities at the pools. They were having activities for the family. So we participated in like a little scavenger hunt at Old Key West. And then later on that afternoon, we actually tie-dyed Mickey shirts, right? Nice. So that's one of the activities that they commonly have at the community centers. So, you know, the hotels are open and you know, they're at the full level of activity. I mean, they're not at the full capacity. I did talk to one cast member and it looks like at Old Key West, they were about half capacity, I think is what they're open. And at the time they were fairly busy over the weekend. So I think they were selling at about 65% or so is what the cast member told me of the 50%. So, you know, they certainly fluctuate over the weekends. You get a lot of people from Florida coming in Friday, Saturday. And frankly, one cast member told me that they were getting people from California flying in for the weekend because flights are so cheap.
Yeah.
So it really is a great time to go if you can make a trip work. We had no problems with hotels, perfectly safe. We had our car for the first week, so to speak. We turned it in on the first Friday night we were there and then used Disney transportation the rest of the time. And that was fantastic. We never really had to wait too long for a bus. You know, they would count you out since we had such a large family. We were either in the very front or in the very back of the bus. But you know, we never had to see a bus go because they didn't have room for us. They always made it work for us. So,
and you mentioned Old Key West, and that is again, one of my favorite places. I'm not DVC, but I'll stay there on cash. And It's great. And I'll stay there with my buddy Scott, who's a DVC member. So sometimes we'll get a 2-bedroom and just slide him some, you know, get here. We'll give you a little, let's get the big unit. Let's all hang out together. That's kind of how we like the vacation. But the thing about, when I think about pandemic circumstances, I think Old Key West is probably the perfect resort at Walt Disney World for that situation, because you're really more socially distant in that resort than any other. They're spread out with those villas, and you know, it's almost like a little community. Like you have, you know, you got people in the same same building with you, but I never did see them. We stayed there for like 4 or 5 days. I never saw the people in our same building.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, all the entrances are outside, so you don't have to worry about, you know, enclosed spaces and passing, you know, potential germs or anything like that. So no, you're absolutely right. It was fantastic. We love staying there. This is, since we've been DVC members, we've stayed at many different, we've only stayed at our home resorts because we actually have two home resorts, like once each. This Old Key West is the one of the resorts we've actually returned to because we enjoy it so much. The rooms are very spacious. Yes, it's a little bit older, but it's a great relaxed atmosphere. I think you've mentioned before about how it is kind of like a little community oasis away from the busyness of the park. And I completely agree with that. It's a place where you can definitely relax, enjoy the pool. We went to, you know, during this trip, we went to Olivia's. So they have a great, great restaurant, great food. I mean, it's a really great atmosphere to be at. So,
yeah, that's my favorite restaurant on property, Olivia's. And my buddy was just there yesterday as we're recording and killed me because he had the buttermilk chicken and just kept texting me the pictures. I'm like, stop. I'm going to block you. I can't have it right now.
I know. My daughter got that. So needless to say, I definitely had a few bites of hers because she couldn't finish it. It was awesome. Guy.
It's easy. It's a good meal. You know, that's what I like. So, all right. So now you have this 5 kids. So you said from 14 to 3. You kind of talked to them, you know, gave them the expectations. We're going to have to wear masks, no fast passes, and so that they were prepared. But talk to us about the travel getting there with the kids. Did you guys, I know like when I took Mallory down in early August, right after the parks reopened, you know, we went out and we purchased like N95 masks and we wore those on the plane there and back and in the airport. We wore the regular fun masks in the parks. But I mean, it was different. Like we had to, you know, with kids, you just got to kind of lay those expectations down. So what was the travel like? And then once you got to the parks, how did they say any, I'm sure they said some funny stuff or, you know, what was the reaction to all of a sudden we're in the Magic Kingdom and things look so different?
So the travel was, really smooth. I mean, we left, flew out of Phoenix and flew Southwest. And you know how good customer service Southwest is, right? So their boarding process was a little modified, right? They're boarding in groups of 10. And since we're basically 7 of the 10, we just kind of were able to board all together and they're keeping, you know, they're not selling the middle they're not selling the middle seats. I mean, it's not assigned seating, but they're not filling the middle seats. They're asking everybody, but unless you were your own family, then you can obviously, you know, sit in a full row yourself. So that went very smoothly, got on, actually were able to sit towards the front of the plane. And, you know, we all had plenty of space. The flight there was direct to MCO. And so that flight wasn't terribly full, but it also wasn't completely empty either. It was actually, you know, considering the circumstances, I was pleasantly surprised with the number of people on there. And then getting to MCO, you know, it was great. We wore just our regular, so we have kind of two sets of masks for the two cars that we have. We wore one set that everybody's really comfortable with. And so they're just cloth masks and kids did great. We could take them off to eat. We had brought some food with us because the way our flight was, we were going to be in air during lunchtime and it was too early for us to buy food at the airport. So we went ahead and just brought food with us. And so we, you know, took them off to eat our lunch and they provided water and some snacks on the plane. So they did provide a little bit of service on the plane, which was great. And we felt perfectly comfortable. I mean, they cleaned the plane before we got on. All the flight attendants were wearing masks. Everybody on the plane was wearing a mask. So we felt safe and comfortable. We didn't have any issues. Didn't feel uncomfortable at all flying. We would definitely fly again.
Same. You know, like I flew Southwest down with my daughter as well. And, you know, direct flight, everything, you know, not an empty flight, not a full flight. It sounds very much like what you're describing. But the way I felt was that It almost seemed like everybody that was traveling and the crew, you know, and all the folks working at the airport were kind of all in this together. You know, like, I'm trying to keep myself safe. You're trying to keep yourself safe. Let's all play our part here and just do the best we can. I mean, I felt that for the fellow passengers on the air, you know, the airplane, because, you know, even boarding, we're being very, you know, careful of social distance. And I think that's kind of how everybody is, because, you know, there's a lot of folks right now that are not traveling. And I think the people that are traveling, I don't think it's taking a risk, but I mean, it kind of is. You know, you could stay in your house and never walk outside. But I think those of us that feel that we're comfortable with getting out there using proper precautions, we feel, I think we're kind of rallying together and keeping each other safe. I saw that at Walt Disney World time and time again, you know, stuff you don't normally see. You know, a lot of times you're rubbing elbows and bumping shoulders. And I think people were a lot more aware this time to let's take care of each other. Did you guys see any of that?
We did. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the cast members did a great job of, I would say by and large, you know, 98-99% of the other visitors at the parks were all wearing masks, very diligent about wearing their masks, right? Occasionally you'd see a family or a couple, you know, take down the mask real quick to take a picture. But and even of those situations, I'd say 90% of the time, there's quickly a cast member reminding them that even for pictures, they have to wear their masks. So, yeah, everybody was trying to be very respectful, keep their distances in line. There was hand sanitizer and hand wash stations everywhere. So, I mean, we brought hand sanitizer with us, but we did not need it because it was plentiful.
Yeah.
Right. So, and everybody felt very, you know, everybody was doing their part, hand sanitizing, keeping their distance. And it was great. It was, you know, I think they had these great signs in the retail stores about, you know, let's keep the magic going. Please wear your masks or don't touch things in the store. If you need some assistance, let us know. And that was really kind of the theme. I think everybody wanted to be there and wanted to protect the magic and the experience. And so everybody was being very diligent on their part. So, yeah, we didn't have any problems from that perspective.
All right, so let's just talk fun stuff. So you guys get there and you're there to have a good time. You got this crew. So what are some of the highlights? What did you guys do in the parks? Like, what still sticks out a couple weeks later?
Yeah, so we, you know, one of the things that I was very pleased with was we got to ride Rise of the Resistance twice. So we went to, because of our trip fluctuating so much, we had actually had like I said, it was our 20th anniversary. So we were planning to go on a cruise instead, or cruise at the beginning of the trip and then Disney World afterwards. But since that changed, we elected to actually fill in with a day at Universal Studios and then more days at Disney parks. And as we were contemplating which Disney parks to go to with these extra days, I said, you know what, let's hedge our bets when it comes to Rise of the Resistance and go to Hollywood Studios one of those extra days.
Right. That's exactly what I was talking about just on the Lister Question Show from last week, is that that is exactly my thought process. If you're worried about Rise, go early in the trip and then, you know, have a backup plan that, like, if you're going to go to the Magic Kingdom twice, have that flex day of, okay, we can take away the second Magic Kingdom day and do Hollywood Studios if we don't get a boarding group, just to have another opportunity. And I think I just want everybody to hear that, because I think if you have the luxury of multiple days, that's a good plan to have going in.
Yeah, no. And we even kept our rental car specifically because we thought we'd be better off getting into the park earlier using a rental car than Disney transportation, which didn't really turn out to be true. So if you don't necessarily have to have a rental car, but it worked out for us. So we got in and I was kind of curious how this was going to work, because the park doesn't open till 10, but yet that's when the first release of boarding groups happens. So I didn't know exactly how they handled that. And what they do is they just allow people into the park early. Right. And nothing's really open yet. I think some stores might be open, but none of the rides are open yet. So that worked out, because as soon as we pulled up to the park, there's already a line of cars right across all the stalls to get into the park. And, you know, my wife and kids are like, wait, we got up early so we could get here before the park opens. And we're not even going to, I mean, they'll look at me like, wow, Dad, where did you, you know, what was your master plan, right?
I've been there, trust me.
Vacation planner.
At least, this is what I do full time for a living, and I get that twice a trip. So, no, I get it.
You're right. So, So fortunately, so we go in and park and we walk through the gate. And meanwhile, you're kind of looking through and you're seeing the crowds that are trying to get into the gate. Again, socially distanced, right? All that kind of stuff. And they're temperature checking and all that good stuff. And I'll be honest, throughout the time that we were there, every day we all passed our temperature checks. We were all grateful that we did that just because, you know, I've got little kids and they touch things and who knows what that can pick up, right? But as we were driving in, we're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if this is not going to, this whole plan might be wasted. So we get into the park and fortunately, right, we're early. It's like 9:30, 9:45. And we decide to make a beeline for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, right? Which already has a huge line, right, attached to it. And again, socially distanced, people are like sitting on the ground because they're waiting for the ride to open. And so we're all, you know, the seven of us are just congregating. And here it is, 9:45. I even have a reminder on my watch, like an alarm.
Yes.
To start at like 10 minutes till.
Yep, same.
Right?
Mine was 7 right? till. Yeah, mine was 7 before the hour. Yep.
Yeah, so I didn't want to miss it, right? Exactly. So 10 minutes to till, I actually start kind of logging on. And my oldest daughter's like, what are you doing, Dad? They don't release him until 10. I said, I know, but no. You know what? I might be in the queue already. I'm just, you know, I'm just trying.
Let me be. I have a plan. Just, okay.
Hey, we're just sitting here, right? We're not doing exactly. anything. So just, you know, let me play with my phone. And meanwhile, I already had my wife like logged into my Disney experience. My son, my oldest son's got a phone. So he was logged in. So we're all like ready to go. And So I'm constantly like trying to log in. And then 10 a.m. starts, right? And as soon as 10 a.m. the hour starts, I'm able to get in. I get a boarding group. We're like number 13. I was like, wow, this is fantastic. So now we're in this conundrum of, well, you know, number 13 is a pretty early boarding group, and yet we're in line for Mickey and Minnie. So what is it that we do? Is it possible that we can actually knock out these two rides first? And So the office of Mickey and Minnie opens up. We start going through the line, and this is a long line. This ends up being like throughout the time that we're there, I don't think I saw the ride be less than like 60 minutes of a wait. It's obviously so popular, and it's, you know, they have to clean it, you know, and that takes a little bit of time. So anyway, we're going through the line, and as we're going through the line, I'd say like, you know, 15, 20 minutes pass. And our boarding group is called, right? And so, or at least, it's not called yet. I take that back. We're actually getting really close. I think we're like 3 boarding groups away. So my wife and I look at each other, okay, what do we do? Do we like stay in line? Because we're not really quite sure how long this line is going to go. Or do we just leave? Because I wasn't quite sure how long we had once our boarding group was called.
Yeah.
So we made the decision, Rise of the Resistance is more important. We've got another day to go on Mickey and Minnie. So we got out of line. And went over to Rise of the Resistance and went on that. We did a rider switch because my youngest daughter isn't tall enough to be on it. Though the way the ride is, I'm not so sure why there's even a height limit to it, believe it or not. Yeah. I think there's a little bit of a drop maybe. But anyway, so that's what we did. We went over to Rise of the Resistance and great ride. It was, you know, so immersive. Great experience. We were thrilled that we were able to get on. And I think I went on first with a couple of my kids, and then after that, my wife went with a couple of the older kids on the ride. So fantastic! So we were super thrilled. And then the second day that we had gone to Hollywood Studios, which was the following week, we elected, well, we've already done the early thing. We're not going to do that. We're kind of, you know, almost done with our trip. We're dragging a little bit because now the heat's there. So we elected just going to go in a little late, but we're still there for the 2 p.m. drop of the boarding groups. And so I did the same strategy, right? Logged on a little early and was able to get a backup boarding group. And so we're like, well, hey, you know what? We're kind of playing with house money.
Exactly.
Right?
So that's good luck.
If we get in, great. If not, and hey, fortunately, our backup boarding group was called later in that afternoon. And so we were able to hit it twice, and we didn't have to sacrifice any sleep or or anything. We were able to get on. So that was terrific.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That, for one thing, Rise of Resistance takes 5 years off your life just because it gives you mental anguish the night before, gets everybody anxious that morning. I mean, it's like the morning of your wedding, man. You're nervous like the whole time.
Right.
It's like, dude, am I going to get on the Skyliner? Should I drive? Should I take a bus? You know, and whatever you pick, you always second guess. Cause you're like, if you're waiting in line for the Skyliner, oh man, those buses, I better go in a lot quicker. If you're waiting in line for the bus, you're like, oh, I should have driven. You know, like the cars are all going. That's my personality. So this is the worst thing in the world for me. And plus my buddy Robert was down there with his family just this past week, and he didn't get it at 10 or 2 one day, but he went back today and he did get on it this morning. He got an early group, but it's one of those things. Like, I mean, it is an investment. Now it's worth it. I say it is worth it because it is, to me, it's the most immersive experience I've had in a theme park, because it's more than one experience. It's probably about four combined into one. It's so
That's
immersive.
Right.
But, God, there's got to be a better way. Like, I mean,
because,
I mean, it's sad when people go down on a vacation, maybe they got 3 or 4 nights, and you can't guarantee you're going to get to do this on your trip. I mean, it's most people get to, but some people do get shut out, and that really breaks my heart. You know, it's a rough thing, but I'm glad you got to do it a couple times. That's good.
Oh, no, completely. A friend of my wife's actually had given her a little bit of a trip report, and they went down for a week, and they went to Hollywood Studios twice, and they could not get on either. And it's heartbreaking when you invest the time and you're not able to do it. We felt very blessed and very fortunate to be able to get on the two times that we did. So, I wish I could say there was some sort of trick to getting on. We just happened to hit it at the right time, I guess.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, the tips, you know, just be there and start refreshing to hit it. You know,
yeah.
If you get it, I mean, it's almost like a lottery at that point, which is kind of sad, but
it really is. Yep.
Okay. So well, let's talk about the rest of the trip though. You had all these days. What are the kids like, you know, like youngest to the oldest, like what are their favorite things to do? Or like, what was something, maybe a special experience they had?
So my daughter, my 3-year-old, she's a big Minnie Mouse fan. And so right a couple weeks before we were to leave, they announced that they were bringing back another character meal opportunity at Hollywood and Vine at Hollywood Studios. So again, you know, having some experience planning these trips, right? You got to get up early to get these dining reservations. So we were able to get a lunch reservation for the mini like Halloween dinner, actually lunch. And so we did that, and that was really neat because the characters, it was Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, and Goofy would come by all dressed up in their Halloween costume, and they would come by around the table. They wouldn't, you know, they don't hug, they don't, actually they wouldn't even like elbow or do high fives or anything. They would kind of keep their social distance, and so you could take, you know, pictures. My wife did a great job of taking pictures with the kids in the foreground and the character in the background. And then I would film kind of their interaction with the kids. And I tell you, the food was fantastic. We had a great meal there. Everything that everybody ordered was really, really good. They kept the capacity to the restaurant limited. So you really kind of felt like, you know, you had this kind of intimate experience with the characters, even though you couldn't, you know, you can touch them. They interacted with you. They had a way to interact with. My daughter was all dolled up in her Minnie Mouse like hat that she had bought on the trip, and she had Minnie Mouse shoes and a Minnie Mouse shirt. So she was pointing out how she was wearing all Minnie Mouse stuff to Minnie, and you know, Minnie was interacting and reacting to her. And so that was like a huge highlight for all of us, because it was great to see, you know, the characters interact with our family, with all the kids, and then just having a great meal. So
and Ricky just went to that as well. She was down last weekend and she went to that meal and she raved. And it's so 2020. Two things that are so 2020 about that is that, one, who would have thought that Hollywood and Vine would become the hottest meal on property just about?
That's right.
Most people, even
usually
Disney
buffet.
Fans, and even Disney fans are like, Hollywood and what? You know, you just, it never crosses your mind, for one. Not that I went to a breakfast there years ago when Mallory was little and we liked it. It was fine. But the other thing is, I think we need to rename that selfie. Like, you described it so well, with like the kids in the foreground, the character in the background. That's the 2020 selfie, because, you know, that's, and you have to kind of master that. Like, I remember I got mine, Buzz Lightyear is my only character I really ever you know, try to get a picture with during a race or, you know, during a trip. And he was in Tomorrowland when we were down in August. And it's one of those things. He's on stage. You just kind of run up to the stage and, you know, he's behind you. But, I think that when I'm a big history buff. And I know that this time it's here and it will pass. And, we'll talk to our kids will have lived through this. And as sad as all this is with all the economic downturn and all the hardships that have happened, the illnesses, we are in an era with our cell phones and with technology where we're documenting this daily, and these pictures will become a part of history. I mean, I truly believe that hopefully 5 years from now that people start to forget about this, we can go back and say, God, remember that we have our masks and look, the characters are 20 feet away. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things, you know, it's just, we're living through history and it's good to document it.
No, I completely agree. And it's funny you mentioned that because every year we buy the photo pass, right? We usually order it, ahead of time to get the discount. Because I think it's the best investment, right? You get all the ride pictures, and we usually do a family picture in front of, Spaceship Earth and the castle at Magic Kingdom, Cinderella's castle. So, but as we were approaching the trip, my wife and I were talking about it. I said, you know what? I don't know if it's worth the money because we're all going to have to wear masks. But as we went through the first couple of days of the trip, and Disney's brilliant at the way they kind of hook you with buying opportunities. So even though we didn't buy the photo pass, they were still loading the pictures into my Disney experience, right?
Oh yeah.
So we're pulling them up like on one of the nights of our trip, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, these are pretty cool. I mean, this is pretty memorable because, just like you said, Mike, it's a historical moment. We're at Disney World with masks, and we've got this tradition of going. This is the year that we went during the pandemic, and now we've got documents. So, of course, I went ahead and bought the photo pass, and so now we've got all the pictures, and it'll be great to share with grandkids and future spouses of our kids, and just say, look. Like, this is how core we are. There. We went during the pandemic.
Exactly. I know. They're like, you did what? Would you take your kids out during the Spanish flu? I probably would have. I don't know.
Probably would have.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's funny. I didn't tell. So I was telling people at work that I was going on vacation. I was going to be away. I didn't tell anybody where I was going until after I came back. Because I didn't want people, some people are like, I've read enough, articles and columns by people that are like, who are these crazy people going to Disney World, right? I really didn't want any of that conversation before my trip. I'd be happy to do it after because I knew I'd experience it, but not before.
So. You're so smart. Now, who gets you really on those pictures? But you mentioned cruises. Now they've kind of transitioned over to a digital portfolio for your pictures on cruises. But I'm older, so we've been cruising for like 15, 20 years. And back in the day, they would have your physical pictures like on these shelves. And the thing is, it could be my personality, but it's like, do you walk away from this great picture of yourself and your spouse on your honeymoon? Next to some big dolphin in Grand Cayman, like, I don't need that picture, but it's like, it's going to get destroyed. I got to buy it for $20.
That's right. Yep, exactly.
They got you.
No, exactly right. And so my older kid, so we went to Universal Studios, which again, great, they've got great procedures in place, a little bit different than Disney, but again, hand sanitizer everywhere. So at Universal Studios, they actually, administer hand sanitizer before you get on the ride. Whereas at Disney, they have them, as you kind of enter queue and enter onto the ride. So just a little different than like that, but they still have the spacing and the queue lines and all that kind of stuff. So we're kind of Harry Potter fans as well. And my oldest son really enjoys that. So we did all of that. That was a fantastic experience. We, ended up eating at over at the Hogwarts end of Islands of Adventure. And so, which frankly, we spent the most time we've ever, when we've gone to Universal Studios at the Hogwarts end. We're usually at Diagon Alley, wherever they have like more shops and they only have one ride there, but it's a little more immersive, we kind of feel like.
Yeah.
But there was so much to do. We rode everything. Every Harry Potter ride that was available. So we went on the wait for Hagrid's was only about an hour. So we did a rider switch with that as well. And I will say, I kind of like the way Universal does it, where when you do rider switch, the whole family can wait in line with you.
Yeah.
rather than separate, right, like Disney does. But we rode that. We rode the Flight of the Hippogriff. We rode, you know, the ride at Hogwarts. So we spent basically all the day, had lunch there. We spent all our time there, and the kids, you know, I had a ball. I mean, all of our older kids, they were, especially my oldest daughter, she was a little unsure about going, she's 11, going on some of these rides. But after she went on it, she was like, that was so much fun. She had just as good a time there as she did at one of the Disney parks. So we ended up doing everything we wanted to at Universal, and then still being able to go on one non Harry Potter ride. And at that point we had run out of time. We wanted to get on the Spider-Man, but that we weren't able to, but that park was, you know, the weather was perfect, and you know, the queue lines were manageable enough that we were able to get on everything. And so that was the night we transitioned to Old Key West. So we were happy to kind of leave, you know, enter into the Disney bubble at that point. And then we were doing nothing but Disney parks after that.
So. That's a good point, though. And especially, you know, if your kids are Harry Potter fans and the whole family, that's because I've never read Harry Potter. I'm not a Potter fan, but I have visited. We went down for training to Universal, and that land, you know, especially Diagon Alley, it's just, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why the person was puking in the gift shop window, but somebody told me, and I was like, okay, it kind of makes sense. But, you know, it is so immersive, right. You know, like you got to stand here, and if you have a wand, this will happen. And and you could tell, like, a lot of Disney touches were over there, you know, folks that had probably worked at Disney totally. At some point doing that. And it was, and that's a cool thing to get that totally different taste, because, you know, one isn't better than the other. They're different flavors. You know, it's like some people like Burger King's, people like McDonald's. Doesn't mean if you eat McDonald's, you can't go to Burger King. You know, it's Taco Bell or Del Taco. It's probably more my style, but it's, you know, it's good to hear, and that everybody had a good time. Now, because we're running a little short on time, but let me ask you this, kind of as we wrap up. One of the two questions, one somebody had in the chat I wanted to hit. She's heading down in December. How did you feel in October as far as crowds? Because, of course, Walt Disney World is not allowing 100% capacity. We're hearing 25%. But the thing I had with Mallory is she's such a veteran traveler that we're used to fast passes. And if we see a long line, we just don't get in it. You know, we're just like, well, we've done that before. We'll do it some other time, either park opening or closing, or we'll get a fast pass and come back tomorrow. You know, you see these lines because of social distancing. You're like, oh. You know, and especially for kids, it's kind of hard to put your head around, you know, there's spaces in between everybody. So how did you feel as far as crowds, and how did you handle with the kids, like tempering their expectations? Like, this is really a 25-minute line, even though it looks like it's 7 miles long. That's what I had with Mallory.
No, you're absolutely right. The crowds, so Monday through Thursday, the crowds were great. Our first day at Magic Kingdom, we were actually able to hit like every big ride, right? Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, you know, basically a Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean. So we were able to hit everything the first day, and that was on a Tuesday. Our last day, we actually went in on a Saturday. That was the night, that was the day we actually left. We had a few hours, and we don't normally do this. Normally the day we travel back home, we don't go into a park, but you know, we had a late flight. So I thought, you know what, let's just get a couple hours in. So that it was, you know, they say that it's 25% capacity, and I certainly believe it, 'cause I think during the summer, you'd certainly see much bigger crowds, but the lines were getting, you know, getting well over an hour in some of the big rides. And it is, you know, it is a little tough to manage when you look at My Disney Experience and you see nothing less than a half an hour. Mm-hmm. That does get a little discouraging. But I will say that some of the times are a little overstated. Yes. So you can get through one that maybe says an hour in like 40 minutes or a half an hour. They're not always 100% accurate. It is a challenge. I mean, we'll say we got on two rides that Saturday, and we were only there for like 3 or 4 hours. But it ended up, you know, the kind of a funny story. One of the things that we didn't end up getting for all the time that we were there was a Dole Whip. And after we finished lunch, and we had to go back to the Grand Floridian to pick up Disney's Magical Express to get back to the airport. and it's like 1:15, right? And we had to pick up the 2 o'clock bus. And so I said, okay, well, we got to go. And my oldest son looks at me and goes, well, Dad, I didn't get my Dole Whip. I said, well, I know. I didn't get one either. He's like, well, can I go get one and maybe meet you guys? I said, well,
Famous last words. Yeah. When you're trying to catch Magical Express. I'm telling you.
So then, of course, it's not just he and I getting one, right? All the other kids are like, no, I want one. So I have to order like 5, right? So, and my son wasn't really aware that he was having to pick up 5. And it needs to say it's hot, right?
Yeah.
And that Dole Whip has like the lowest melting point, yes, I think, of does. Any ice cream.
Yeah.
Right.
If you get out of Adventureland with a Dole Whip, you're living life well. You know,
seriously. Exactly. So we clean up from lunch and we're leaving and we're going through the castle. You know, we're waiting at Main Street and I'm texting, like, where are you? He's like, well, I'm back at where we were having lunch. And I'm like, no. And at this point, it's like, of course, they're not allowing you into the restaurant unless you have a order to be picked up, right? So I just explain, look, my son's in the restaurant. And they go, okay, great. So I go in there, can't find him anywhere. I'm looking. I'm like, where is he? And I text my wife and he's like, no, now he's back at Main Street. Oh my gosh. So now I'm jogging back because, again, time is of the essence. We're trying to meet, right? We're trying to get the bus. And I meet up with them, and they, of course, you know, the Dole Whips, and not only they just Dole Whips, the Dole Whip floats.
Oh yeah.
So they're just a mess. And I'm like, okay, guys, you know what? You guys take care of those. Let's just jam it over to the monorail because we got to make sure we get on the, you know, the monorail to get back to the hotel. I'm like hoofing it, and meanwhile, it's, you know, it's humidity, it's 90 degrees, I'm just drenched. They've got, you know, the Dole Whip and the juice just all over themselves. Cups are breaking, so they're leaking. I mean, it's just a hot, hot mess. We get on the monorail, and everybody's hands are sticky. I mean, we're cooling off. And I will say, you know, we kind of take our masks off to eat, right, to finish them off. And we pull into the and as we're pulling to the one of the monorail stations, cast members notice my son's mask is off and reminds him, oh, hey, could you please put your mask on, right? So we then pull into the Grand Floridian, and I'm like, I see the bus. The bus is right there. It's like 2:02.
Oh, no.
And we still have to get our bags from valet. So I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going to take the stairs down. You guys, you know, take the elevator because they have the stroller, and I'm going to see if I can hold the bus up. By the time we got out of the monorail, down the stairs, out, the bus was already gone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
you know what? The first time, because I didn't fly for the longest time, I didn't realize. I thought it was like regular bus. Like, okay, well, you miss a 2 o'clock bus, there's a 2:05 bus. No, man, if you miss your assigned bus, it's a big deal. Like you know, they get on you.
With social distancing, they have to limit the number of people on the bus, right? So I talked to the valet. They call Disney Magical Express. They're able to get us on the 2:30. So that gives us time to kind of clean up, get our bags, and we get on the bus. So, yeah, I mean, you never know how the crowds will kind of influence your trip, right? But we still had a great time. What a rush to kind of end the trip, right? Just a mess and Dole Whip and running to catch our bus. But it all worked out. We had a great time. I definitely, you know, the magic is definitely there. If you're just, you know, willing to wear a mask all day and keep, you know, washing your hands and using hand sanitizer and keeping your 6 feet, it's a great time.
Well, that's awesome. And my last question was going to be, what would you do different? I would just say Dole Whips. Leave it at that.
Get that earlier in the trip. That's definitely
awesome. Well, Scott, I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and share all these great memories, great tips. It's been a lot of fun. So we'll have to catch up again after your next big family adventure.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate the time.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today. The great free services to help you plan your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, when we can do that again. Disney Cruise Line, we can still book them. They'll be sailing soon, I hope, and Adventures by Disney. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also continue to use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, for some extra content in your week, become a patron of the show and get the mini podcast every Thursday, Mike in the Midwest, stories of growing up here in Missouri. Check it out over at patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Also, give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter, @beourguestmike and @brguestpod. And of course, give us a follow as well and get those notifications when we go live and join us each and every time over on YouTube and Facebook. Just search for the VR Guest Podcast. One last reminder, join us December 5th, 2020. We're going to be down at Give Kids the World Village. Pam, Ricky, and myself raising money for Give Kids the World. And if you can't be there for the Night of a Million Lights, which guys, if you don't know what this is about, think Osborne Lights. I saw the videos earlier this week of what it's going to look like. There's literally 3 million plus lights in the village. Each of those little villas that the families stay in, they're all decorated by the company that sponsors them. All the major buildings like Henry's Scoops. There's a big Christmas tree. It's amazing. So if you're in the Florida area or if you're vacationing down there that weekend, come by. The tickets, you know, you buy your ticket now because there's limited availability. All the money goes to Give Kids the World, obviously. And we'll be broadcasting live from the village 2 to 8 p.m. on December 5th. So if you can't be there, join us. We'll take you around the village. We'll take questions, calls, and all that kind of stuff as well. So don't forget, coming up very soon, Night of a Million Lights and 3 podcasters down from Give Kids the World Village. All right, we're going to get out of here. Let you get on with your Monday. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the show. Hope you enjoyed this trip to Walt Disney World. So until we speak again, for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.